I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Turn to Matthew, chapter 11, if you will. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." That is reading chapter 11 of Matthew, verses 1 through 6, that which the Lord has put on my heart today. There is an epidemic infecting the lives of millions of people today all across our world. And I'm not talking about the epidemic of COVID-19, but I am talking about the epidemic of discouragement. It is something that touches the lives of everyone from time to time, because none of us are immune to it. It affects us all, from pastor to the pew. And I believe that is one of the greatest battles that we'll all face in our Christian lives. And I'll be honest with you today that it is one of the greatest battles that I personally fight in my own life and in my own heart. It is one of Satan's greatest weapons that he has in his arsenal to hinder and defeat God's children today. It is the weapon of discouragement. And I'll even say this, I believe that it is a tool that politicians use during a time of election, and that they'll play on the hearts of people to bring discouragement. In a time of election, they'll play on people of how that we are discouraged with our representatives. and our senators and our governor and our president telling us how we need change in our day and telling us how we're discouraged with how things are. Watch their ads and they'll play on the discouragement of people. So it is something that we see all around us today. But I want us to look this morning at the discouragement of a preacher. We find in our text the discouragement in a man named John the Baptist. John, who had leaped in his mother's womb when hearing Mary tale of giving birth to the Messiah. John, who had grown up in a priest's home. John, who had stood on the banks of the Jordan River and declaring the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. John, who had preached repentance that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. This same John had preached with fire in his voice that had called the Pharisees a generation of vipers. This same John had told King Herod that he had the wrong wife. This same John was now struggling with discouragement. But I want us today, for a few moments, to look at his discouragement and see something about the danger of discouragement. The danger of discouragement. So let's look at it just for a little bit. First of all, I want to say something about the problems that produce discouragement. The problems that produce discouragement. I wanted to think about what the definition of discouragement was. And I looked up the definition. Here's what I found. Definition says that discouragement is a loss of hope, a loss of confidence, and the spirit over a situation that is being faced. It comes when someone for the moment has doubt that creeps into their mind. Do you realize today that doubt is something that comes into a Christian's heart? There is a difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is a sinner's problem. Doubt is a Christian's problem. Doubt is something that happens to a Christian in their life. and in their heart when they struggle deep within. So John is having some doubts. There are some things in his heart that he is struggling with. But I see in his life, I see in this circumstance some things that produce discouragement. First of all, I see that discouragement can come from a confinement to something you can't control. It can come from a confinement you can't control. You see, John was a wilderness man. John was a man that loved the outdoors. John was a man that lived by the River Jordan. John was a man that loved to be on the outside. But now John was confined to a prison cell. John was confined to a situation that he couldn't control. He was confined there because he had called sin, sin. He was stuck sitting there, and there was nothing he could do to change it. Now listen to me. There are those who are under the sound of my voice today. There are those that are listening today that maybe you didn't plan on the situation that you're dealing with. Maybe you didn't plan on a rebellious child. You didn't plan on a bad economy. You didn't ask for that sickness. And you didn't ask for that difficult situation. And you didn't ask for that family problem. And you didn't ask for that health problem that causes you pain. And you didn't ask for that broken heart. And you are confined for a situation today that you didn't ask for. You are right now dealing with things that you can't control. And I want to tell you, that's a discouraging thing to deal with. There are circumstances at times you can't control. You didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. But now it's yours to deal with. And I want to tell you, that's discouraging. That's discouraging. There are people today that maybe by live stream, maybe in their car, and maybe sitting in this congregation, that you are dealing with a confinement that you can't change. And that's a discouraging thing to deal with. But I see a second thing in this story that can bring discouragement. It can also come from a confusion about something you can't understand. You see, Jesus was doing a lot of great and wonderful works. The kind that John realized that he would be doing. John had said that he would come with Holy Ghost power. John realized and preached that the kingdom of heaven would come. He said the axe would be laid at the root of the tree. John was looking for the kingdom of heaven. And John was looking for some time of judgment. But it wasn't happening. The kingdom wasn't happening. Judgment wasn't taking place. You see, it wasn't time for that yet. But John didn't know all that. And John was confused about all that. So John sends to Jesus by two of his disciples and says, "Are you really the one that should come? Or should we look for another one?" John was dealing with a confusion about something he couldn't understand. And then at the same time, Jesus was doing some great things, and John was sitting in prison. I wonder if Satan had come and whispered in John's ear and said, "Jesus is doing a lot of miracles, John, but he's sure forgotten about you. He's helped a lot of people, but boy, he's left you sitting here in prison. He's not done a thing for you. What about you, John? What about needing help? I just wonder." You see, there are times that you and I can often do the same thing. We have some things that we're confused about, that we don't understand. Sometimes the enemy will whisper in our ear and say, "Why is their prayers answered and ours isn't? Why are they getting help and we're not? Why are we seeming to be left out? Why did they get healed and I'm not?" He'll say, "Preacher, that don't happen. Don't you tell me that don't happen." It does. And that gets discouraging. That gets discouraging. I'm talking about problems that produce discouragement. Those things happen in our life. But secondly, I want you to see the pathway of dealing with discouragement. I believe that we can find how that we need to deal with discouragement. You say, how do you deal with it? The same way John did. The same way John did. What John do? He went to Jesus with it. How he could physically go, but he sent two of his disciples. He sent to Jesus and he asked him a question, are you the one that's to come or should we look for another? You see, John asked questions about it. John honestly wanted to know some things. Can I tell you something today? There is nothing wrong with asking the Lord some questions. There's nothing wrong with asking Him why about some things. You say, preacher, I've always been told you don't ever ask the Lord questions about things. If you don't, then Jesus sinned on the cross because He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know Jesus never sinned. But even He asked the Father why. So there's nothing wrong with asking God some questions. The psalmist David often prayed and asked the Lord why. In Psalm 88 and 14, the psalmist says, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? There's nothing wrong with going to the Lord with questions and saying, why, Lord, why? Lord, I just honestly, I'd like to know, would you help me? Would you help me? There's nothing wrong with that. You see, John could have sat in bitterness. John could have sat in his prison house there and sat in bitterness. He could have called his disciples and got in bitterness and got in anger and bantered it about with him and talked about how bitter he was. But he sent to Jesus. He sent to Jesus. He said, I'd like some help here. Would you help me? Would you help me? John didn't get on Facebook and talk about why he didn't get on Twitter and say, Lord, you treated me wrong, like some people today do. But he just said, Lord, why? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? There's nothing wrong when you feel overwhelmed by it all. Just tell the Lord how you feel. Tell Him how you hurt. Tell Him what's on your heart. Present your questions honestly. True faith will lead you to the right source. Tell the Lord your heart. But then lastly, there is the peace that can be found in discouragement. I see in the story how that John's two disciples come and they tell Jesus. They say, John sent us with a question. And they say that, art thou the one that should come? Or do we look for another? And Jesus answers them and says, go and show John again the things which you do see. And he said, tell them this, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I believe that Jesus actually gives John two things that it says to us today about helping us to have peace in discouragement. You say, preacher, what are those two things? The first one has to do with timing. With timing. He says to them, first of all, about the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised, the poor having the gospel preached. You see, all of that has to do with fulfilling what Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would do. In other words, he was saying to John, John, I am right on time. Everything is on schedule. He is saying, timing is right, John. Everything is right on schedule. John, don't worry about it. Everything is on time. Everything's on time. You see, sometimes we just have to realize that God doesn't do everything on our schedule and in our time, but he does it in his time. In his time. The psalmist David said in Psalm 31 and 15, he said, my times are in thine hand. When David said, my times are in thy hand, he is saying everything that pertains to my life is in your hand. Everything that pertains to my life, God, you control. And I want to say that's true for all of us. God is in control of everything in our life. It's all about timing. It's all about timing. Sometimes we say, God, why don't you intervene? God, why don't you fix this? God, why don't you straighten this out? God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? He will in his time. It's all in his time. He sends first of all and tells John it's all about timing. But then secondly, he tells John it all has to do with trust. He says in that second phrase, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He's saying to John, John, you just have to trust me. Blessed is that individual who doesn't get upset with how I do things in life. Just trust me. I will take care of all things as it needs to be done. Just trust me. And that's what God is saying to you and I in our discouraging times. give me time. I'll take care of things. Just trust me. Just trust me. And that's where you'll find peace in the midst of discouragement. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you may be dealing with today. I don't know what you may be facing today. But He can give you peace in times of discouragement. There may be somebody that's here in this service. There may be somebody listening outside on the live stream. But if you're dealing with discouragement today, God can give you peace. He says, trust me. Trust me. I'd like for Deborah and Sylvia, if they will, just come to the instruments and play something. I'll ask you that's in here if you'll stand to your feet. That's the message of my heart. If there's a need in your life, if God has spoken to your heart, I ask you to come and let Him help you today.